Hello, it's Margaret Kingston here, and with me is Julia Banks, who, as you know, has had a quite tumultuous time since Malcolm Turnbull got deposed. Julia has left her seat of Chisholm and is standing in the seat of Flinders, which is a very complicated seat. So, hi, Julia.
Hi, Margot. Great to be with you.
So, Julia, this is the first time we've spoken, so do you reckon you could give me a bit of a pen portrait of the seat of Flinders?
Of the seat of Flinders? Yes, absolutely. So Flinders is fundamentally the Mornington Peninsula in Victoria, and it's been a double-held Liberal seat for years and years, for most of its lifetime, except for a small period for about 9 months many years ago. So it's always been regarded from the outside as the sort of wealthy blue ribbon seat, but effectively with the seat of Flinders on the Mornington Peninsula, it is the holiday destination of a lot of Victorians, a lot of Melburnians. And it is, you know, there are certainly some very wealthy pockets across the seat of Flinders. But a number of those people who have homes here don't actually live here. And then there are sort of small townships throughout, pocketed across Flinders from the Southern Peninsula across to Hastings and Tyabb and Baxter, where there are issues in relation to homelessness and indeed unemployment. And the problem, the other sort of overlaying problem is that because it's been a safe Liberal seat, it's faced the malaise of many safe seats in that it's been ignored too long. So schools, speaking to principals, schools have just been, you know, they have massive infrastructure needs. And one of the biggest issues that I'm campaigning on is that there is an extraordinary need for a new hospital in Rosebud. Mm-hmm. The Flinders population increases by about 100,000 people over the summer period as well. So, and what the Liberals have done is they've invested in a little on the border of Flinders, which is in effectively Dunkley, a marginal neighbourhood. Out all the money into that, but on the Southern Peninsula, which is 5 minutes to hour away, there is a, you know, the staff are amazing, but the hospital is just in dire need of an upgrade or a new hospital.
So Flinders is owned by Greg Hunt, who in my day in the gallery was a moderate, but seems to have turned hard right to further his career. And he was a key Dutton supporter in the attempted coup on the basis that he would be Deputy Prime Minister. So do you have a particular reason for standing in Mornington, apart from it's your childhood home, to sort of take a stand against what Greg Hunt has done and what he's become?
No, it's not about that, Margot. It's more about, you know, I made the decision way back in August that I wasn't going to recontest Chisholm. And the one light at the end of the tunnel was that we would be spending our time in our home that we've had for over 20 years since our kids were little. And what a lot of people forget, I was really new to politics. I really only served under Malcolm Turnbull, joined in 2015, served under Malcolm Turnbull and Louise's leadership. So when I was in the private sector, when my kids were little, we would often commute from here, and my parents lived in Mornington, and so they helped extraordinarily with childcare. My parents are, you know, about 20 minutes away, but just still in Flinders. So this is our natural home, and this was the place, you know, that I was looking forward to spending our time in. And what I was mourning when I decided I wasn't going to recontest Chisholm was that wonderful experience of being a local member. I seriously enjoy, you know, for me, the most rewarding and enriching experiences are not the ones that are reported in the paper, but the ones that come from being a local member in terms of being able to help the community and, you know, be dedicated to community service. I really enjoy that. And it was over the summer that everywhere I went in Flinders, people were telling me to run. Now, I know it would have been easier for me to run in Chisholm because I'd built my brand there. I know lots of people there, community leaders there. A lot of people wanted me to run there. But equally, people in Chisholm, they understood it, and because I'd made the decision so much earlier, and they were very, very supportive. It's sort of like leaving your old workplace and saying goodbye, but you know, you still got enduring friendships. And, you know, at the last function I went to, it was an RSL event, and they said, you know, Flinders' gain is Chisholm's loss. So that was the main driver that the local community wanted me to run. And it wasn't an easy decision, though, given what I'd been through.
Well, also, it wouldn't have been easy because Flinders is a safe seat. Now, I've looked it up, and Greg Hunt won on primaries at the last election. He got 51.6%, yes. Labor 27, Greens 11, and Animal Justice 4. And on two-party preferred, he got 58% of the vote. Yeah. So you would call that a safe Liberal seat. So how are you positioning yourself in Flinders to be a competition both to Greg and to Labor?
Okay, so almost as soon as the rumours were, well, as soon as the rumours were coming out that I was contemplating, you know, running in Flinders, people were saying that it was just this feeling of relief that people had choice, they had an alternative choice in Flinders. People saying, thank you so much for giving us someone to vote for, because they felt like, you know, that they had no choice. And that coupled with what he had done to Malcolm Turnbull is still resonating very loudly here. I know Greg Hunt is trying to rewrite history and say, I think I read it, him saying, oh, look, that's 6 months ago, people have forgotten that.
No way.
But there is no way. I can't tell you how many people come up to me at the polling booth and say, you know, I've voted Liberal all my life and I will never vote for that man again in my life. So, yeah, because of what he did, simply because of what he did. And you know, and then there are people who are the major parties and the revolving door of prime ministers, and they say, you know, thank you, you're a breath of fresh air, you know, someone with your values. So, yeah, so, and I think people respect that there's been nothing, you know, hidden about what I did and why I did it. And, you know, the old thing, as my late dad used to say, if you tell the truth, it's easy to argue. And so I'd, you know, people would say all sorts of horrible things. And it's interesting that the Liberals are mounting incredible personal attacks on me now and during this campaign. And I just don't have time for that. It's sort of like, I did what I did, I said what I did. And that's it. Yeah.
Well, you're not alone, because Rob Oakeshott and Cowper is getting huge personal attacks, as is Zali Steggall in Warringah and Karen Phelps in Wentworth. And I sort of had a chat with Rebecca Sharkey the other day, and she said it's the dirtiest campaign she's ever experienced over in Mayo. So clearly there's some fear in the Liberal and National parties. But I was really interested that you didn't run the usual playbook of Liberal independence in safe Liberal seats of having an open preference ticket, and you've actually preferenced Labor and the Greens above Greg. Could you go through your reasoning process for that?
Sure. As I say to people at the polling booth, I consulted broadly and widely in relation to what is the best thing for me to do to maximise my chance of winning. I'm not in this to come second. Labor actually have quite a high primary here.
Yes, they do.
Those other seats. And I basically preference Labor and the Greens above the Liberals. And, you know, there was all shock, horror, and isn't this disgusting sentiment coming out of the Liberals. But it's exactly what the major parties do. They, you know, prepare their how to vote to maximise their chance of winning. So that's fundamentally what I did and why I did it, which is not unusual. But again, by an independent doing it, it's all of a sudden they try to make a story out of it. But indeed, many people have said to me at the polling booth. More people have said to me at the polling booth that because I did that, they will vote for me. Rather than those saying they won't vote for me because I did that. Because equally, the Liberal, you know, who would have been a normal Liberal voter understands that it was strategic. It's a strategic implementation of what I did.
Mm. So who is Greg Hunt preferencing? Is he preferencing Clive's party?
Yeah, number two. Clive Palmer's.
Bloody hell.
I know. And
tells its own story, doesn't it?
Yeah. And not only that, but Clive Palmer's candidate has no connection whatsoever to the electorate, lives in Oakley South, no understanding of any of the issues, drives down occasionally and might spend an hour or so at pre-poll. But that's all we've seen of her. I mean, it's just the system is just so wrong in terms of what the major parties get up to. Mm.
Can I ask you a more general question about Victoria? Victoria looks to be the place where Labor could win. What's your feeling in Flinders and Melbourne more generally about the state of play, the state of feeling about the Liberals?
Well, I don't think people have forgotten since November how they feel about Victoria, the state election. It's a progressive state. They saw the way the Liberals behaved in relation to the marriage equality vote. Indeed, I certainly got attacked and criticised during that when I was a member of the Liberal Party that I insisted on campaigning for a vote, even though I was in a multicultural seat. And mind you, our seat got the national average of a yes vote. They don't like the whole religious right-wing move to the right. Sorry, right-wing conservative move. It just doesn't appeal on a general level to Victorians. And certainly, I don't know why they're doing it, but they've been doing it. And it's a whole scare campaign or personal attack campaign that the Liberals are doing. And people are tired of that sort of negativity. They're really tired of it. You know, both parties are doing it and they just sort of, they just want positivity. They want someone who's, you know, quite often at the polling booth, I say to people, I just want to be a good local member. And, that simple statement resonates with people because they know I'm focused on them.
I've sort of heard conflicting reports on the polling, one that probably finish third or fourth behind Labor and another that you do have a prospect of winning the seat, that maybe if you could finish third and get Greens preferences that you could win it. Where do you think it's at the moment? Do you have a realistic chance of beating Greg?
I think I do, but it will be very, very close. Greens preferences, I think I do in terms of polling that I've seen. If his primary comes down and mine goes up, obviously, I think I do have a very real chance. I think it will be very close, but it's not easy given those numbers before. And also the other reason it's not easy against someone like Greg Hunt is 25% of the electorate are over the age of 65. And quite often that demographic that doesn't want to change, doesn't want change, but you need to counterbalance that with people who feel after 18 years of Greg Hunt, and then Peter Reith and then Greg Hunt's father before him, people don't like the whole dynasty thing, and they feel quite rightly that you have to earn your stripes to be a member of parliament and to be a local member. And Greg demonstrated last year that he was the prime mover in ousting Malcolm Turnbull. I mean, Greg Hunt is the man who wanted Peter Dutton to be our prime minister. And it was the three of them, the trilogy, Tony Abbott, Peter Dutton, Greg Hunt, who were all actively working in Victoria to the extent of what they could do in Victoria to get rid of Malcolm Turnbull.
Well, given that Greg Hunt started life as a moderate who believed we had to take strong action on climate change, I felt that what he did on Dutton was he was just representing himself because he wanted to be Deputy Prime Minister. I was really shocked by what he did.
He's a signed-up member of the right-wing conservative faction of the Liberal Party, 100%. And that's another thing of so many people say across Flinders is that he's done nothing for the environment. Like, and it's really quite extraordinary. I mean, this is the man who signed up for Adani. He really struggles to talk about the environment at a forum.
I bet he does.
He generally gets heckled whenever he tries to open his mouth about the environment. And the other day, you know, it's a school forum, and the moderator, a school student, said, so we'll just go across the table in terms of what are your thoughts on Adani, and started with me, and I said 100% Adani should be stopped. There should be no, we don't have a social license to go ahead with Adani. There should be no coal-fired power station, no investment in new coal-fired power stations. And then I went to Greg and he said, it's a matter for the Queensland government.
Yeah.
That was it. That was it. And like even the students were quite cynical about that. So
One of the really interesting things in Flinders is that the Greens have, I think, preferenced you above Labor.
Yes, they have.
Is that because of your position on Adani?
You'd have to ask the Greens, but I think that was definitely a factor. My position on Adani differentiates myself from both the major parties because it's definitive and, clearly want to stop Adani. So that is one of the key reasons, but also because I have applied this sense of urgency to climate change action. You know, I've been talking about climate change action on a public level since my election, and it got drowned out by the right-wing conservatives. So it's not unusual for me to be talking about this. And once the IPCC report came out, I was very vocal about this. So they know my climate credentials, and the Greens have certainly done that. Certainly GetUp have also indicated that I'm the strongest candidate.
Wow. So you were in the independence video ad that came out a week or so ago.
Yeah.
I loved it because a couple of reasons. One, it sort of brought together city, region and country. But two, because it just had a totally different vibe than the major parties. Has that been a help to you in Flinders, or have people gone down that it's just another party type?
No, it's really been helped in the sense that it's boosted the independence brand as such.
Okay.
So people aren't, in my view, they're not dismissive of the independence brand. It's and I think that's really helped in that sense. It shows that we're not a bunch of quirky nutters, that we are all sensible, centre, dedicated individuals who just want to live what being a true representative is, and that we're not we're necessarily by our position, we are not going to get involved in all that political game playing and, you know, self-promotion and all the rest of it that the major parties have been doing for the last 10 years.
Yeah, well, the way I sort of look at it is when the Liberal Party goes hard right, it exposes its moderate Liberal base. I see the Independence Day movement as the moderate Liberal base hopefully standing up and saying, well, sorry, that's not acceptable and you better move back to the centre, and until you do, we're not going to vote for you. So I think that's a huge factor in the campaign, and I fear that if the moderate Liberal base doesn't stand up and say no more, that the Liberal Party is lost to Liberalism. So I feel your struggle and those of the other independents is crucial to Australia's future in that sense.
Yeah, and look, I was gobsmacked by the reaction to my speech when I moved to the crossbench. I knew it would get media attention, but I did not think it would get the incredible support coming from Liberals who were obviously thinking in exactly the same lines as my speech. They just came from everywhere. Across the country. I just was, drowning in emails of support. It was incredible. And, you know, the Liberals tried to counteract that by them appointing, you know, certain members, female, you know, members as the attack dog, because they obviously thought the bloke against me. But it just doesn't resonate with people because I was very clear as to why I left. I said my values haven't changed. The Liberal Party's values have changed, largely driven by the right-wing reactionary group of Liberals who drowned out the moderate's voice. You don't have a voice in what is meant to be party free speech.
Well, congratulations for taking a stand, Julia. And you do sound as though you've been campaigning very hard and you've got a little cold by the look of it.
I have, you know, three more sleeps, as my daughter said to me. So but I look, I've got an amazing team, and that, and that's, see, that's the other thing. People came forward from, you know, all over Flinders to say, what can I do to help?
How many volunteers have you got?
Well, we're now over, we're now, I'd say now we're close to 200. Is, you know, 170 more volunteers than I had when I was in the Liberal Party. So, it's just, and it's the most importantly, it's people who are genuinely want to help, and all of that energy translates on the polling booth. So,
but we've you've been able to man the pre-polls, and you'll be able to man the booths on, sorry to say man, but man the booths on the booths on Saturday?
Yeah, we'll be a bit light on Saturday. I understand the Liberals are paying people to...
That in a lot of seats.
Yeah. So we can't compete with that. But we're just competing it with the power of the people, and the and hopefully it's the power of the people that get us over the line. But it'll be a close race. And
so if people listening to this would like to volunteer on election day, could you give me the website of how they can contact you?
Yes. So if they go to juliabanks.com.au, and there's a button that you can push that says register to volunteer, and warmly welcomed. Because as I said, we're a small team, and but we're a brilliant team. I can't tell you how fantastic they are. Best team I've ever worked with in my life. Yeah.
Okay, Julia, well, good luck, and we'll be watching Flinders on Saturday night.
Okay, thanks so much, Margo, for the opportunity to speak.
Take care.